Always feels like summer when you hear the Beach Boys. It's 11 minutes after 8 on this Thursday, June the 12th. Dean Richards now with more on Brian Wilson. Good morning, Dean.
Yeah, that makes me so sad. I remember buying my first Beach Boys 45. Remember all those great songs, both all the surf songs, the California rock songs, and then as the rivalry heated up between the Beach Boys and the Beatles, the more psychedelic, much more complex sound of Pet Sounds, and all of that really due to Brian Wilson. He's the one that shifted the focus of the group into a completely different sound as you know, as he evolved himself, not always for the best with drug use and a history of mental illness, but there is no question that you want to talk about musical geniuses. They don't come much better than Brian Wilson with that long, long string of hits. Wouldn't It Be Nice was definitely one of them. These are some of the others. Absolute genius. In Good Vibrations. Brian Wilson lived in St. Charles for about 8 years. Lived near Randall Road and North Avenue. Five-bedroom home there with a beautiful custom-built recording studio. He is, being remembered by, people like Elton John, who said that he was his songwriting inspiration. And even John Cusack, who played Brian Wilson in the 2015 movie Love and Mercy, said that Brian was a raw, open heart with two legs and an ear that heard the angels. He was a triumph of endurance and spirit. In an interview, Brian talked about the making of his most famous song, Good Vibrations.
When I was around, 10, 12 years old, my mom and I were walking to the market one day, and a dog started barking at us. And I went, "Mom, why is that dog barking at us?" She goes, "Son, because some dogs pick up vibrations from people and not from other people. And when they pick up bad vibrations, they bark." And so I said, "Well, what about good vibrations?" She said, "Well, sometimes they pick up good vibrations." And so one day I was with Mike Love at my house in Beverly Hills, and I told him I had a song that goes bom bim bom bom boom bom bom bom, and I went, "You know what, Mike? I would like to call it Good Vibrations." He goes, "How's this? I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the..." And it fit to the music. And then boom, 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 boom. It went together. And that started out a project, Good Vibrations, right there.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. 25 years ago, Brian Wilson was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And no one, less than Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, inducted Brian into the Hall of Fame and said this.
"The 60s, particularly, he wrote some music that when I played it, it made me cry. And I don't quite know why. It wasn't necessarily the words or the music. There's just something so deep in it that there's only certain pieces of music can do this to me. I think it's a sign of great genius to be able to do that with a bunch of words and a bunch of notes." Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Wilson.
A pretty profound moment.
Yeah.
In 2023, Brian Wilson was diagnosed with dementia and pretty much has been out of the limelight since then. He was like Sly Stone, who passed away the other day. He also was 82 years old.
You know, when you think about Pet Sounds and Sgt. Pepper and how the Beatles and the Beach Boys had this friendly, creative rivalry, always inspiring one another to take it a step further. Before those albums, we didn't have concept albums. Remember, albums were like one hit and then 11 filler tracks.
Right.
Right.
I forget who said this. I was, I read so many obituaries yesterday, but somebody, a musician, said yesterday that Brian Wilson, in creating Pet Sounds, created an album for headphones, not for the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that you could listen to in your headphones and hear so many different things over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you had headphones like I did back then, there were gigantic head vices. Remember those big, gigantic things that we used to wear on our heads?
Landecker back in the day at night, he wore some lightweight headphones that you could hear through, but the problem was you'd get close to the microphone and there'd be feedback.
Yeah.
So John put a styrofoam cup, a white styrofoam cup on each ear. So there he is.
Very
attractive. The man listened to across the country at night, influencing millions. And there he is with two white styrofoam cups on his ears, on his head.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, though. A few years ago, I don't remember what year it was. It was, I think, the last time Brian Wilson was in good enough shape to perform and do a concert. And I think he was with, at the time, Mike Love and Al Jardine, and Brian didn't move around. He just sat at the piano. But hearing him sing God Only Knows was a thrill. I mean, I'm so glad I got to see that.
Yeah, that's the song that Paul McCartney was referring to when he said that the song made him cry. And, you know, really, if you listen to it, especially now in light of the news of his death, it is extremely, extremely poignant.
Dean has been talking to the stars of How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the big movies that opens tomorrow. Officially, some theaters will have it later on this afternoon, but this is the new live-action adaptation of How to Train Your Dragon. There have been three animated versions of How to Train Your Dragon over 15 years. Now they're trying their hand with this live-action version, live actors with the animated dragons and scenery. I'll tell you what I think of the movie tomorrow. It's mostly positive, very positive. But Gerard Butler is back, who is one of the voices in the original animated movies. But new to the franchise is British actor Nick Frost, who you may know best from the Shaun of the Dead movies. Hilarious actor. And the two young actors who play Hiccup and Elise are Mason Thames and Nico Parker. I talked with all three of them in Los Angeles last week.
What was it like for you to step into onto this moving freight train? You know, it had to feel like that a little bit, didn't
it? Yeah, it was. It was really scary, like the first couple of days. First week we were at, you know, a training arena, which was really big. It was like the size of a little soccer stadium in England. And there were 500 extras and the, you know, 300 crew. And it is nerve-wracking, you know. I said to Dean once after a couple of early takes, "Can you see me trembling?" He was like, no, we don't see it. But I was literally shaking.
It had to feel a little bit like hopping on a moving freight train, zooming down the tracks. Did it for you guys?
I think that's a pretty solid way of describing it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic way of describing it.
Both physically and mentally. I think that's kind of what it entailed.
Yeah. I mean, just the fan base itself is, you know, they love and care about these characters and this world so much. And, you know, us going into that, it was a lot of pressure to, you know, do the characters justice in this world. So, you know, it was terrifying, but then again, a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Dean to which they refer there is not to me, but Dean DeBlois, who is the writer and director not only of this How to Train Your Dragon movie, but all three of the animated versions as well, which I think really benefits this particular version of the movie, that the guy that did all of the movies is back now with the live adaptation. As I say, it opens officially tomorrow. I'll give you my full review on that then.
Give us a hint. You like it?
I did. I liked it very much.
Okay.
That's pretty much my whole review, so I can take the day off tomorrow. Now. Very nice.
I see it on the ad now. I liked it very much.
Yeah.
Dean Richards, WGN.
Yeah.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
All right, bye.